Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
The new face of the NFL is Patrick Mahomes, and you better get used to him being there for a very, very long time. Good morning, everyone. I hope you are having a fantastic Monday. The Kansas City Chiefs are Super Bowl champions, and Patrick Mahomes is the youngest player ever to be both the Super Bowl winner and the Super Bowl MVP at the age of just 24 years and 138 days old. Now that he's got number one, the question becomes, how many more will he win? We debated it going into the game. I'm going to stick at 3.5 or 4 Super Bowls on average that he will play in. I think that he will win at least 3 of those, and I might be low on that. We'll see what kind of contract he ends up signing. But for long-suffering Kansas City Chiefs fans who had gone 50 years between Super Bowls, 74% of the population of Kansas City was not alive the last time the Kansas City Chiefs won a Super Bowl. This was an epic comeback. If you are a San Francisco 49er fan, you are sick to your stomach given the way this game fell apart, up 20-10. The 49ers defense looked like they were in control of this game. And then in the final 7 minutes, the Chiefs score 21 points unanswered to run away with this thing and find a way to lock down a 31-20 win. Here is what the final call sounded like on the Kansas City Chiefs radio network.
Mahomes takes the snap. He is just going to throw it long for DeMarcus Robinson. It is going to use up all the time. The game is over. The Kansas City Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 54. Final score, Kansas City 31, San Francisco 20. And Chiefs Kingdom, get ready to welcome your champions.
It's impossible not to feel good for Chiefs fans, but also to feel good for Andy Reid, who finally wins a Super Bowl at the age of 61 after fighting for so long to get to the Super Bowl, lost back in the day with the Eagles against the New England Patriots about 15 years ago, or so it was. He finally gets back, comes back from a double-digit deficit for a third straight game. And this one may have been nearly the most improbable of all, given when that double-digit deficit came to pass in the fourth quarter with about 7 minutes to go, as opposed to a double-digit deficit in the first half, like happened against the Houston Texans and like happened against the Tennessee Titans. Here was Andy Reid talking about finally getting the final piece of his Hall of Fame resume.
I'm going to go get the biggest cheeseburger you've ever seen. Prime, the biggest one. And might be a double.
Yeah, so the guys, just last year losing to the championship game, I think the effect that had on the guys that they felt it, getting that far and then being that 4 inches off. It wasn't D Ford. It was all of us. I mean, we were all 4 inches. We could have done 4 inches better. And so this offseason, you know, they put their mind to it, and as did the coaches and everybody up their game, and you know, this is the result. I mean, it's phenomenal. I'm not sure it's all sunk in, but it's awesome right now. Yeah.
We also got Patrick Mahomes, again, the youngest quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP, talking about the win after the game.
I had two goals when I became the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, and the first goal was to win the Lamar Hunt Trophy. I wanted to bring it home, the one that has our founder's name on it. I wanted to bring it to this family and this organization. And the second most important thing was to get Coach Reed a Super Bowl trophy. I mean, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. I don't think he needed the Lombardi Trophy to prove that, but just to do that, I mean, it puts all doubt aside. And he's going to be listed as one of the all-time great coaches in history whenever he wants to be done, which is I hope is not anytime soon. I've had a good start to my career. I mean, I've been blessed to be in a great organization with a lot of great players around me. Make my job a lot easier, but I know it's going to take a long time of consistency if I want to be where I want to be at in the end. And I'm lucky enough that I just have a lot of great people around me that I have a chance to go out there every single year and compete.
As long as Patrick Mahomes stays healthy, he is now poised to join a long list of incredible quarterbacks in NFL history. And boy, I mean, what a comeback. I know he didn't play that well early. Two interceptions, looked a little bit off on his game. And to me, the play that really kind of flipped everything was the deep ball that he hit to Tyreek Hill after, interestingly, Kyle Shanahan had won a challenge on one of the worst throws of the night for Patrick Mahomes, where he missed Tyreek Hill. We went to commercial break. We came back, and I think that deep ball that he hit to Tyreek Hill, where Tyreek Hill got himself wide open, it was kind of a lollipop out there. They hit that, and it put him in position to score the touchdown to make it 20-17. And then Kyle Shanahan. Like, I know we talk about the big win for Patrick Mahomes and for Andy Reid. Kyle Shanahan now has two of the biggest collapses in Super Bowl history. His 28-3 lead over the New England Patriots, which the 49ers gave away, and now his 10-point lead, which the 49ers gave away. Ultimately, the moment was just too big, I thought, for Jimmy Garoppolo. He played really well in giving the 49ers a 20-10 lead. But in terms of being able to ultimately put the San Francisco 49ers on his back and carry them to victory, he wasn't ready or able or willing to do that. I'm sure he was willing. He wasn't ready or able. And if you're a 49er fan, there are several plays that you will point to on the offensive side of the ball, and that will leave you shaking your head throughout the entirety of the offseason. But to me, the one that's going to sting the most is the pass to Emmanuel Sanders that Jimmy G missed when Sanders beat, I think it was 3rd and 10 on the next to last drive for the San Francisco 49ers when they were trailing 24-20 and facing a 3rd and 10. Emmanuel Sanders got behind the Chiefs defense. He had a step. Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew him. That's a throw that a big time quarterback can't miss. It's also a throw that if you do miss it, you have to miss it, I think, a little bit under as opposed to overthrowing it, because if you miss it a little bit under, then at least you have a decent chance of getting a pass interference penalty as a player slows down. And in that case, Emmanuel Sanders, and the defender has a good chance to run into him. Kyle Shanahan, after the game, was asked about that. By the way, if you look at the win probability chart, not that the win probability chart is undefeated or anything, but, man, if you look at it, comparing the two games, both the Falcons and now the 49er game, in the 49er game, Kyle Shanahan had a 95.3% win probability. In the Falcons game against the New England Patriots, the Falcons had a 99.6% win probability. Those were the highest points of the entire game in terms of the likelihood that they would win. And that is pretty wild to think about, that effectively Kyle Shanahan has the two biggest collapses, both in Super Bowl history and both to happen like they did has got to be particularly difficult to handle. Kyle Shanahan talking after the game.
They had three timeouts. It was 10-10. The last thing we were going to do was allow them to get the ball with three timeouts, especially with their quarterback and offensive speed. To go in there and score before half felt real good. 10-10, especially with us starting with the ball.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, this is particularly tough. The end of the half, that's what Kyle Shanahan is talking about. I didn't like his decision there. The way he used the clock, it seemed to me like he was afraid of the Chiefs getting the ball back at 10-10. And I know that that the 49ers were set to get the ball for the opening drive of the second half. And but I thought that seemed like a fearful way that they ran plays. Now, they eventually kind of opened it up on third down, and Jimmy G hit a decent gain, and then they got a tough call against them, I thought, on the Kittle offensive pass interference. I think it was probably the right call, but you see a lot of hand fighting like that occurring down the field, and usually it's not called, and that took at least 3 points off the scoreboard for the 49ers. I would say the other thing, if I'm a 49er fan, that I'm not very happy about is on the next to last drive, the one when the 49ers were still up 20-17, Garoppolo dropped back to pass, and there was a clear helmet-to-helmet hit by the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, Garoppolo took that hit directly on the helmet. It was a leading with the helmet. You're trying to protect the quarterbacks. It's honestly very similar to the call that was made in the Clemson-Ohio State game, which left Ohio State fans so mad. It's the downright correct call. But in college football, they'll go back and review to ensure that they don't miss a targeting call. It was helmet to helmet. It was plain as day, and they missed it. Now, you hate to lose a game on a helmet to helmet contact or anything like that, but if I'm a 49er fan and I'm upset about anything in the missed call department, you can be upset about the Kittle call, but I thought ultimately it was probably the correct call, even though it was maybe a little bit aggressive against Kittle in terms of calling it. But missing the helmet-to-helmet late in the game, when what would have been a first down with around, 2 minutes and change, to go or thereabouts, or 4 minutes and change, whatever the heck it would have been. I guess more like 4 minutes. It would have been a first down. To miss that call, I thought, was pretty egregious, given the fact that the NFL makes such a big deal about trying to protect quarterbacks. All right, we are locked and loaded and ready to roll as we continue to unpack the Super Bowl. We'll open up phones later in the show, but in the next segment, I will bring in the crew, and we will talk about the game. Also, we were on fire from a gambling perspective. I am your new king on Lock It In. I hit 5 winners on prop bets and whatnot. And we also, as a show, hit the opening song by Shakira and the opening song by J-Lo. By the way, how hot was that halftime performance from both of those women? I thought it was a pretty stellar Super Bowl. Overall, well-produced, lots of drama, lots of fun, a good way to end what was a pretty outstanding NFL season. And it ends with Patrick Mahomes, I believe, now as the new Tom Brady, the new face of the NFL is Patrick Mahomes. Rejoice, Chiefs Kingdom, because I don't think this is going to be the only title this man brings to your town. What a win for the Chiefs. 3 straight double-digit comebacks. We've never seen that before in the history of any championship run.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
All right, Danny G, your big takeaway was?
It was just a fantastic Super Bowl, especially
all top to bottom.
Yes, compared to last year where, I'm not going to lie, I wanted to fall asleep at halftime last season. This year, man, it was so exciting. Fox did such a good job. Fox TV deserves a lot of credit. The NFL 100-year celebration was really good to open the game.
Fantastic.
Demi Lovato did an amazing job with the national anthem. And then as we're listening to Shakira, and we talked about it earlier in the show, with her and J-Lo shaking their booties side by side at the end of the performance, that is an image that will forever burn in our minds. And, you know, as far as the game, the Niners blew a golden opportunity there right before the half. They needed to be aggressive. You cannot play to not lose. You have to play to win. Now, as a fan of the Raiders, and John Gruden is our coach, he's kind of a conservative coach. I've seen him coach in certain, you know, situations like that, and it drives me crazy because when you have an opportunity to get points on the board, you got to go full throttle.
I didn't like that decision at the time, but they were up 20-10 with 7 minutes to go. They didn't lose because of the way they finished the first half. They lost because they allowed Patrick Mahomes to take this game over in the final 7 minutes, and because Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't good enough to match him when he started hitting full stride.
But we all knew Mahomes could go off in the second half and probably would, and we saw what he was capable of in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I feel like the 49ers lost it on that third and 15 play. I think if they get a stop there, they win it, and ultimately Jimmy G just wasn't good enough. And the 49ers did everything they needed to do for 53 minutes of this game. They turned Patrick Mahomes over twice. They held the high-powered Chiefs offense to only 10 points. They took command of the game after going down, 10-3? They scored 17 straight to come back to take a 20-10 lead, and then they gave up 21 points in the final 7 minutes of the game. And as a result, I don't know if Jimmy G is going to get back to the Super Bowl. We'll see. But I think there are a lot of questions about whether he's the guy in San Francisco who's going to be good enough to win Super Bowls. And that was the question coming in. This is a really well-constructed 49er team. But ultimately, Mahomes is a difference maker, and Jimmy G is not. Your takeaway, Dub?
Yeah, I agree with Danny G. It was a fantastic Super Bowl top to bottom. And as far as the actual game, you know, it was a great comeback by Kansas City. But the play calling in the second half, not running the ball for the 49ers, I thought, is what did them in, because they were having success running the football with their running backs. And I thought they strayed away from doing that, and I think it cost them.
Let's get a couple of your calls quickly here. Who we go to, Danny G?
Let's start with Eddie in Texas.
Eddie, what you got?
Hey, good morning. I just want to let you guys know I really didn't notice any lip syncing, singing, whatever they were doing on there.
Their butts weren't lip syncing, I'll tell you that much.
Exactly. So, I mean, everybody, oh, they were lip syncing. Well, okay, get over it. As far as the game, you know, it was one of the best Super Bowls I've seen. I'm from Houston originally. I actually live in Tyler, Texas now, which is about 8 miles from White House. They're going crazy over here today. I'm driving into town.
That's where Patrick Mahomes is from?
Yes, White House, Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like a little pissant town. They're going nuts over here. But let me ask you this. They say he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Y'all mentioned this morning. That really bothers me nowadays about that because of you know, it ought to be a career thing where you Super Bowls count, but also longevity and stats count. I think that's why Aaron Rodgers will be in, and some other guys. But I think the guy's great. Don't get me wrong, but he's a gunslinger and he does some things, and I don't know how long he's going to last. So let's give him credit for doing what he's done so far, but let's don't put him in the Hall of Fame yet.
I almost think he's in the Hall of Fame. Thanks for the call. I understand, it's a tough call because in order for him not to make the Hall of Fame, something awful would have to happen. He'd have to have an Alex Smith-like injury, you know, where it's just devastating and he's not able to ever come back from it at the same level. And that obviously happened to Alex Smith with the Washington Redskins. But, again, I argued that Eli was a no-brainer. With two Super Bowls and with two Super Bowl MVPs. But if you are the league MVP, all right, which Patrick Mahomes has already done, if you are the Super Bowl MVP, and if you are a Super Bowl winner, is there anybody with that trio of stats ever in the history of the NFL that isn't in the Hall of Fame? And this is not an argument we need to have because he's 24 freaking years old. But I'm speaking about how what he has done is already so incredible. I would venture to say that there isn't a single quarterback in NFL history who has been a league MVP, who has won a Super Bowl, and has been a Super Bowl MVP that is not in the Hall of Fame? You guys can tweet me if you can think of one off the top of your head. Let's take a couple more calls.
All right, Nick in Charlotte.
Nick, who you got?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say, like, as a Raiders fan, I'm not afraid of Patrick Mahomes or the Chiefs going forward, because if you look at the last, say, 15 Super Bowl participants, like, all the quarterbacks, like Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Goff, Nick Foles, Carson Wentz combination, all the quarterbacks haven't been paid. So once you pay your quarterback, I mean, your team pretty much declines. I mean, if you look at the Patriots, Brady's always taking a pay cut, so he's an outlier. But if you look at all the last 15 years of Super Bowl participants, like, all those quarterbacks pretty much haven't been paid. I mean, maybe New Orleans versus the Colts, that might have been the only year where you had two quarterbacks that, you know, were actually on good-sized contracts, but the rest of those teams hadn't been paid.
Yeah, thanks for the call. If you want to argue that the Chiefs are going to drop back, that's the argument you have to make. I don't think it's that Mahomes is going to suddenly get worse. I think it's that when he makes, and if he makes, $40 million a year, that could be an issue going forward. Now, this is also, I understand the purpose of making as much money as you possibly can. This is also something where if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I sit back and I say, wait, what if I take 30? What if I take $30 million a year? How much better does that potentially let the Chiefs get around me? And the reason why potentially you take $30 million a year instead of 40 is because you can make up maybe whatever money that you are losing in salary based on endorsement income because your team is so good, right? If you're in the Super Bowl every year, every company in America wants you to endorse their product. And so I think that is potentially something that where Patrick Mahomes needs super good advisors to kind of walk him through the process, because that's what Brady's done. Brady took less than he could have made, right, for much of his career. And I believe that's one reason why the Patriots have been able to sustain excellence around him, because it's allowed them to sign talented players and keep talented players on the team as long as they can. So that's at least worth contemplating if you want to create a scenario for why things aren't going to be as good. And that's something that would scare me, by the way, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott, they were able to spend a ton of money on Dak Prescott's surrounding talent over the first 4 years of him as a starting quarterback. They never really had that much success. They never advanced beyond the divisional round of the playoffs. And now Adam Schefter is reporting today that the Dallas Cowboys may well have to franchise Dak Prescott. Well, if they're franchising Dak Prescott, they're going to sign him to a $30 million plus one-year deal. What does that do to their overall salary cap situation? It's a good question. So that story is out there, and I'm sure we'll spend a lot of time talking about that in the days and weeks ahead. Who's up next, Danny G?
All right, last one for this segment, Tim in New York.
Tim, what you got?
We're contemplating if you want to create a scenario.
Tim's got his radio. I appreciate the fact that he's a big fan.
Tim, turn your radio down.
Why do we still have to say this? No, we're going to let Tim go. It's only been a situation with cell phones for 25 years now. If you call a sports talk radio station, listen to the call on your phone and turn your radio down because there's like a 40-second delay. And Tim right now is panicked trying to talk, but he's only had 25 years to deal with this. This is like what's going on when I travel on after 9/11. You know, for a little while after 9/11, the fact that you couldn't have fluids and the fact that you had to take your shoes off, you'd be like, okay, you know, I understand people don't know it. There's now been 20 years that you haven't been able to put water or any other fluid through the machine, right? Through the security. And also that you've had to take your shoes off or take your laptop out. They haven't really changed the rules very much in 20 years. So maybe possibly know what to do when you go through security now at an airport. Just an idea.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
You should all be praising this show wherever you are right now across the country, because we were white hot when it came to telling you what was going to happen in this game, not only on the field, but also during the halftime show. I believe we have audio of us analyzing which songs would be played first by Jennifer Lopez and by Shakira. Listen to this. What do you think will be the first song performed? I'm going to steal your answer, whatever the majority believes.
Isn't Pitbull in On the Floor?
So yes. Maybe,
I mean, Benno Pitbull's a Miami guy.
That's why I'm thinking, just said that, yep.
But would you really bring out Pitbull?
Yeah, that's a good analysis.
That's true, but
I feel like a Miami Super Bowl, they're going to bring out Pitbull. I mean,
yeah,
are there odds on that?
Not in this one, but yes, you can bet on whether Pitbull is going
to
show up, and he's
a
massive favorite because they basically know.
Can you give us the songs one more time? Then?
Let's Get Loud.
Okay.
On the Floor, Live It Up, De Niro, Jenny from the Block.
Boy, I guess I would say Jenny from the Block.
Okay.
That was the first song that came to my head because it's just such a classic.
It introduces her as like, you know, like this is who I am.
That's kind of my mindset right here as I'm thinking about these songs. So I would say Jenny from the Block.
Jenny from the Block. If that hits, everybody's going to get rich who's listening to us right now. You could be as rich as those YouTube influencers. All right, first Shakira song performed. Whenever, Whenever, Dare, parenthetical, La La La, Waka Waka, She Wold or She Would. I don't even know. Is She Wold the song? She Wolf. Oh, they mistyped it here. God, that would have been great if I had picked that one. I wouldn't have been able to pronounce the song. So they mistyped it in the email to me. All right, so Whenever, Whenever, Dare, Waka Waka, She-Wolf.
I'm going She-Wolf because I want to see, you know, that's, I don't know, maybe just my age, but that's the song that I think of when I think of Shakira. So I'm going to go She-Wolf.
All right, so I'm going to go with She-Wolf because now these are both huge upsets. There you go. 20-1. 20-1, J-Lo opens with Jenny from the Block. 12-1, Shakira opens with She-Wolf. So if you guys had listened to us, huge paydays on both of those, but that's not where it stopped. I also, on Lock It In and on this program, gave out a variety of prop bets. I gave out six. One of them was a real wild card, right? I said, I like the value on Nick Bosa at 35-1 to be Super Bowl MVP if the 49er defense can shut down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So I missed on that one. That's the only bet that I missed on the Super Bowl. I hit on Nick Bosa to have over a half sack. He caused the fumble and got a sack, plus 115. I hit on the 49ers and the Chiefs under 54. I hit on Jimmy Garoppolo to have under 239 and a half passing yards. And I hit on Patrick Mahomes to have under 2.5 passing touchdowns. Plus, I told you to take the Chiefs that I believed in the Chiefs. So those are five winners that I gave out. The over-under, the Chiefs, and then Bosa to have over a half sack, the Jimmy Garoppolo under passing yards and under on the touchdown passes by Patrick Mahomes, all right? So I had Dub. Last night I texted Dub and I said, man, what if somebody had been listening to us and they had been able to parlay all five of those bets that I just gave you that we hit, plus Jenny from the Block and She-Wolf hitting? Dub, you did this. You hopped on a parlay calculator, and your answer blew my mind, but it's about to make everybody's jaw drop out there. If you had just shut up and been able to bet every single thing we suggested on this program on Friday or Saturday leading in or Sunday leading into the Super Bowl, what would you have won if you had parlayed all seven of those bets together? And by the way, for people out there who don't understand, a parlay requires you to hit everything. In other words, you have to be right 7-0. If you go 6-1, you lose. If you're not a gambling expert or you're not following gambling very much. But if you had bet, what was the dollar figure, Dub? $100?
Yeah, $100.
If you put $100 on those five bets that I just ran you through on the under, on the Chiefs to win, on the under on Jimmy Garoppolo yards passing, on the under on Patrick Mahomes touchdown passes, and on Nick Bosa to have over a half sack, plus She-Wolf, plus Jenny from the Block, all seven of which we got right on this radio program, what would you have won?
Well, Clay, you could have damn near retired because you would have won $822,119.
That is $100 bet. That is an unbelievable stat. So if you had bet $100 on those seven things that we gave you out on the program, the five props and the two relating to the Super Bowl halftime show, you would have won. What's the $100 would have turned into what again?
$822,119.
Oh, my God.
That's almost a milli.
That's almost a million dollars off of one $100 bet. Now, to be fair, I'm not sure that it was possible to parlay all of these different things together. I haven't ever tried to do that. Like, I'm not sure if they allow you, for instance, to parlay bets on who's going to perform at the halftime show. Sometimes they restrict whether or not you can string together multiple prop bets like this. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. It kind of depends on the shop because, again, there's a large risk there. But that is an unbelievable hit that we had on these programs. And you said, Danny G, as soon as the halftime show happened, your phone blew up with people with She-Wolf and Jenny from the Block.
Yeah, my notifications went crazy. And every single tweet said, oh, my God, you guys just made somebody rich.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we're going to open up phone lines. I don't know if anybody took our advice and bet on those. It's not just there. Remember, the reason why I brought that up was I went on Fox Nation for part of Fox News.
Oh, I saw that.
To give out picks. And that's why I was asking you guys for your help to make the selections on the halftime shows. And so I went on camera too. I mean, maybe we can see if Elijah has the video of us making the picks as well. We need to put out the audio of that. But there's video for Fox News of me giving that out as well, in which case hopefully we made a lot of people rich.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
I believe a big part of Patrick Mahomes' legacy is now solidified because at a minimum, he's won one Super Bowl. That's the same number of Super Bowls as Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, for instance, have won in their careers. It's hard for a quarterback to win even one Super Bowl. Same number, by the way, as Brett Favre as well. Those are three first ballot NFL Hall of Famers beyond a shadow of a doubt. And Patrick Mahomes, at the age of 24, has already equaled them. I believe he will win three or more Super Bowls in his career, which will put him up at the very top of the all-time greats list at quarterback. But this was the first. It was an important one. Because, look, there are great quarterbacks like Dan Marino who might only get to one Super Bowl. It's possible, highly unlikely, I think, but possible Patrick Mahomes never gets back to another Super Bowl. Cementing that legacy by winning at the age of 24 is absolutely massive, and it goes a long way towards limiting any pressure he might feel in the years ahead. For Jimmy Garoppolo, it's a young team at the 49ers. Maybe he will get back, maybe not. I think the storyline coming out of the Super Bowl is that a lot of us, myself included, who said we felt like he had limitations, we didn't necessarily believe in him as much as we believed in Patrick Mahomes. I think that's a valid concern in the wake of his performance. He wasn't awful, far from it. The first interception that he threw was really bad, and he missed Emmanuel Sanders for what could have been an iconic touchdown pass, the likes of which Joe Montana made a career throwing in the Super Bowl. Big player on big stage needs to make big plays, and we saw it from Patrick Mahomes. Frankly, we didn't see it from Jimmy Garoppolo. We got a caller who wants to weigh in, says he bet on those song opens, Jenny from the Block and Shakira. What's up?
Yeah, unfortunately, Dustin in Indiana couldn't hold on, but he won $5,200 by betting on those two prop bets from our show.
Well, there you go. So we made people a lot of money. And what was the number? So we gave out, if you're just waking up with us right now, we gave out, I did on Lock It In and on this program, five winners on prop bets. I gave you, I told you, bet on Kansas City Chiefs. They won and covered. I told you to get out there and take the under, that I felt like the 49er defense would control this game to a large extent, and they did. I told you Jimmy Garoppolo under passing yards. It was 239.5. Thought that was way too high based on the way the Garoppolo had played in the first two playoff games. I told you to take the over on Nick Bosa sacks, and it was a half, and he got a sack, strip sack, fumble, and was in the mix to get several more sacks, but got the over, got a sack and a fumble caused. And I told you to take the under on Patrick Mahomes' touchdown passes. It was 2.5 because I felt like it was unlikely that Patrick Mahomes was going to throw a lot of touchdowns in this game against this 49er defense. Now, that was five winners. I also gave you out a couple of big big-time potential pays, payouts. I gave you Nick Bosa at 35-1 to be the Super Bowl MVP, and obviously that didn't pan out, but 35-1 is a big number. And I also said, I think on Lock It In, Emmanuel Sanders at something like 14-1 to score the first touchdown. That didn't happen, but those were big payouts. But if you had taken the five get bets that I gave you to start there, which were roughly coin flip bets, right? Roughly 50-50 bets. And if you had paired them with Shakira starting with She-Wolf and J-Lo starting with Jenny from the Block, you would have won how much money, Dub?
If you would have risked $100 on those seven plays and parlayed
them. And you'd been able to parlay it all together on those seven bets. And if you're not familiar with the parlay, it means you have to get all seven correct. You would have won what, Dub?
You would have won $822,119.
That is one heck of a performance that we almost gave you an opportunity for. We haven't talked about it very much. What did you guys think? What's your review of the Shakira J-Lo performance, Danny G?
Well,
you watched halftime.
Of course I did. Yes, I was glued to it like most other red-blooded Americans. It was good. Shakira was lip-syncing. They turned her mic on later in her performance for her shout-outs, and then she was kind of singing over her track for her last song. J-Lo, we noticed her mic was live pretty much the whole time. So that bothered me a little because some people were like, oh, Shakira was the much better singer. Yeah, I wonder why. But I wasn't much paying attention to the vocals as much as I was their moves and them dancing and them both shaking their booties side by side at the very end was the perfect finish to that performance.
God bless America. I agree. That was a gift that will live on forever. Shakira and J-Lo both giving us the, what'd you call that? That was the shake heard around the world. Dub, what'd you think of the performances?
Well, look, I thought it was just an absolutely beautiful performance by Shakira and J-Lo. They got the crowd going. They had, we had some friends over at the house. Everyone was glued to the TV, boys and girls. And yeah, I have no complaints on the Super Bowl halftime performance whatsoever. An A+, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it was really pretty outstanding. And again, I have to say, $822,119 if you had been able to parlay all those together. I won the crown on Lock It In. Everybody was disgusted with my performance by obviously all those bets that I gave you out. So I will be in rare form later this afternoon on television on FS1 as I put on my crown and survey all my kingdom. But that was a heck of a Super Bowl in general. What did you think, Eddie, of the halftime performance?
Well, I like booty shaking as much as the next man, but I, in general, don't care for any halftime shows. So I usually go find something else to do. I actually was at two Super Bowls, and during halftime, I walked around the stadiums and just looked at stuff. I don't care about that stuff.
Yeah, I see. I like kind of the big production of the show. I think it's kind of incredible that they can put all this on together, like, you know, right during halftime, and then get all that out and each of them get, you know, 12 minutes total or whatever it was. I'll bring you guys back here in the final segment. We'll talk about the commercials. Anybody have a favorite commercial as part of the overarching performance of the Super Bowl? Obviously, we're spending 3 hours talking about the Super Bowl in general. We'll also take your call. Let me take a couple of calls here. I said we were going to take some calls. Let me take a couple of calls here quickly to clear up some of these lines, and then we'll take more of your calls and continue to break things down. Who should we go to first?
Let's start with Matt in Virginia.
Matt, what you got?
How y'all doing?
Excellent.
I just had two things to say. First, go Chiefs. Second of all, I don't want to hear anybody doubt Andy Reid ever again about his playoffs. Third thing is,
Skip Bayless can suck it. Y'all enjoy your day.
Up next. Who's up next?
Okay. Let's try Zach in Idaho.
Zach, what you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Just reacting to the game. What'd you want to weigh in on?
Okay, so the 3rd and 10 that Jimmy G overthrew by like 10 yards, I don't know why more people aren't bringing up the fact that that was a 4-down territory. I think they could have probably ran it because they were already staying on pass for 5 or 6 yards, but I don't know why they weren't looking for Juszczyk and Kittle for a couple of passes in the flat or maybe Debo. I think they could have easily gotten 10 yards in 2 attempts there. I think that was one of the biggest coaching errors of the night when I was watching the game live.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Well, first of all, they got a wide-open touchdown pass. So I don't know how you can criticize the play calling on 4th and 10 when if Jimmy G actually makes a good throw – they had, and I don't know if that was the primary option, but it seemed like it was the primary option. They had Emmanuel Sanders wide open in the center of the field for what should have been a touchdown. So I'm not going to criticize Kyle Shanahan because he didn't throw a 5-yard under route on 3rd and 10 when they set up what should have been a touchdown pass if Jimmy G had thrown it better, or if he had just thrown it a little bit short. That's probably a pass interference because Emmanuel Sanders can come back to the ball like Travis Kelce did on a big, was that 3rd down as well, right? Wasn't that the 3rd down play where they got, that was another big play that I'm sure Robert Saleh would like to have again, but I believe that was like 3rd and 10 when they left their man in single coverage and Mahomes recognized it and just threw the ball up to Kelce and it was an underthrown pass, but he got the pass interference to allow the touchdown there. So I don't think you can criticize Kyle Shanahan at all there. Who's up next?
Shane in New York.
Shane, what you got?
Clay, what's up, man? Just want to comment on Mahomes and the halftime show. Couldn't agree with you more. Very important for him to get that first one in at such an early age like Brady did in his second year. I think he's on path, obviously, to be a first I think he's already a first ballot Hall of Famer and on track probably to win 3, 4, 5, 6. And regarding the halftime show, I thought it sucked for the simple fact that Shakira and J-Lo had promised to do a Kobe tribute. And they actually said, I think you'll be very proud to see the message we're trying to convey on stage. And I just thought it was very poor that they did not promise on the tribute. I'm obviously a huge Kobe fan. It's been a very, very mournful week for me, and was just disappointed in that.
Thanks for the call. I think Kobe would probably say that was a pretty good tribute. Can't speak for Kobe 100%, obviously, but I think most heterosexual men watching Shakira and J-Lo perform at halftime thought that was a pretty good tribute to all of us. One more call here. And I didn't hear him say they were going to give it to Kobe tribute, but I feel like they tributed all of America with that performance.
Yeah, I think you're right. Last one of this batch. Let's go to Brian in Kentucky.
Brian, what you got?
Hey, guys, doing? Thanks for taking the call. Just a quick question. Is there any other Super Bowl halftime show that you had hoped for a wardrobe malfunction than the one that we had last night?
I'm trying to think of a more attractive duo that's ever performed in the Super Bowl. I mean, I can't think of one. I mean, they had a 35-second delay, so I think the chances for a wardrobe malfunction were slim. And that's probably one reason they had the 35-second
delay.
Well,
we got an instant meme when Shakira did that tongue thing.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Celebration, the Lebanese celebration.
Yeah, God bless America indeed.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.